would like this evening, with the Lord's help, to consider the words of verse 4, John chapter 9. They're the words of the Lord Jesus as he addressed his disciples. And the Lord said to them, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh. The night cometh when no man can work. The healing of the man who was born blind is unique with regard to the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. Unique because it is the only case on record of Christ's healing of congenital disease. Indeed, the Greek phrase which is translated from his birth occurs nowhere else in the New Testament. So that in itself sets apart this particular miracle as wrought by the Savior. And this unique case presented the disciples with a problem. They voiced their problem to the Savior, saying in verse 2, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The disciples wanted to know why some people are born in an unhappy condition, even as this man was. He was born blind. And there was no one better able to explain the reason for this than the one who was wiser than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is interesting how the Lord responded to this question. For the Savior chose not to explain why the man was born blind, other than to say that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The Savior chose not to go into a full explanation of this matter, but simply give a short answer and then said, I must work. He was saying to the disciples, you may think, you may talk, you may argue, but I must work. You may occupy your time with questions, speculations, and theories, but I must work. Indeed, the words of the Lord Jesus may be rendered, we must work the works of him that sent me. And here the disciples were spending their time with questions, speculations, and theories. And the Lord Jesus replied by saying, Matthew, or rather John, James, and Andrew, and Peter, we must work. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh. And no man can work. So we can see that the Savior was telling his disciples that there are more important things to do. For instance, there was a work to be done for God. This reminds me very much, and I'm sure reminds you, of the Lord's response to his disciples just before his ascension. When the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" Once more, the Lord's response to that question is very interesting. For in Acts 1, verse 7, I read, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." The Lord was again saying to his disciples, there's a work to be done. He was saying, "Brethren, there's work to be done. Don't spend your time speculating about future events. There's work to be done. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." A very similar response to the question posed to the Master here in John 9. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And the Lord was saying there are more important things to attend to than wondering about future events. There is work to be done now. The Apostle Paul pressed this home in his letter to Titus. For in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8 we read, "This is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." Careful to maintain good works. Not just do something now and again. Maintain good works. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. "They which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Verse 9. "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." And I tell you this, there are those today who believe in God. There are Christians today, and they will indeed spend their time speculating, coming up with theories and ideas about future events, and they will not spend 1 hour to evangelize the lost. They'll not spend 1 hour to go and tell a sinner his need of Jesus Christ. It's the point the Lord is making, the point that Paul was making. There are those, and I have heard them, and they'll spend hours debating and arguing about some fine point of theology. But they'll not spend 1 minute of their time evangelizing their neighbors, going and speaking to their loved ones about the Savior. There's a work to be done. The night cometh. Here's this great night scene. The night cometh when no man can work. And we give this title to our message tonight, "Time is running out. The night cometh." And there are loved ones that need to be reached for the gospel. There are loved ones that need to be gathered into Christ. And believer, time is running out. There are those of our own kith and kin tonight, and they're teetering on the brink of eternity. They're only a breath away from eternity. They're not saved. Time is running out. The night cometh when no man can work. Let us, believer, not waste our time in trivialities. Let us not waste our time in trivial pursuits when there's a work to be done for Jesus. And the longer you go on in the Christian faith, more and more you realize time is running out. With more years behind us than we have in front of us. And there's a work to be done. And the Lord Jesus said, I must work. Yea, we must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Joshua was made to realize the time was running out for him. This is what the Lord said to Joshua. Lord said, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Joshua, you're old and stricken in years, but look, there's very much land to be possessed. Joshua, time's running out for you. Joshua wasn't a man to be idle. Joshua was a worker. Dear Christian, are we workers for God? Are we laboring for eternity? Are we seeking to lay up treasure in heaven as opposed to treasure on earth? And not bring it with us. Will not bring it with us. For all of us, time is running out. There is yet much work to be done. I want us to look this evening to the Lord. I want us to look to Christ and follow his example. Let his words minister to us this evening. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And that's a night scene that every one of us here in this meeting will one day see and behold. For the night is coming for us all. What we want to notice here, first of all, is the Master's great commission. I must work the works of him that sent me. Here we see then that the Master was sent. The word sent is the word that may be also translated apostle. Paul in Hebrews tells us to consider him our great apostle. Christ was sent. The Lord Jesus was sent to do a work for his heavenly Father. When God the Father, sometime in eternity past, was devising the plan of salvation, the Father said, who will go for us, and whom shall I send? And out of the bosom of the Father came the voice of the Son, and the Lord Jesus said, here am I. send me. Send me. I am prepared to be sent. And so the Son of God was sent on an errand of mercy to redeem the lost, to pull brands from the burning, pull them out of the fire. And throughout the Lord's earthly ministry, the Lord over and over again made reference to the fact that He was the sent one. There was that constant awareness of His purpose and His being in the world. He was aware that He was the sent one. He was sent to do a work for God. He repeated that again and again and again. I can only give you a few references. If you turn just back a couple of chapters to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 38. The Lord said in verse 38, John 6, "For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Look at verse 39, "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me." Look at verse 40, "And this is the will of Him that sent me." Look at verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So we can see the Lord Jesus when He said to His disciples, "I must work the works of Him that sent me." The Lord was very conscious and very aware that the Father had sent Him into the world to do a work. And I wonder, dear Christian, tonight, how aware are we of this matter, that you and I are sent into the world to do a work for God? Now, we may not be sent to occupy a pulpit. We may not be sent to a mission field. We may not even be sent to teach children in a Sabbath school. But nevertheless, we are sent to do a work for God. God has saved us. Has He saved us just to sit on our leaves and do nothing? No. Has He not said to each one of us, "Son, go work today in my vineyard"? John Wesley said, "The world is my parish. The world is God's vineyard." Doesn't matter where we are in the world, there's a work to be done. And the Lord said in John 20 and verse 21, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Are we aware of that? Do we live each day aware that we're sent into this world? I'm sure you have stopped to think at some time or another, as I have, why am I here? Why are we in this world? Why did God bring us into this world? God brought us into this world for a purpose. He saved us. Now we are to serve Him. That's the purpose. "Son, go work today in my vineyard." What work have we done in the vineyard? How often do we think about being the Lord's sent one? Time's running out. So much to do. so many souls yet to be spoken to. Time's running out. For the night cometh when no man can work. Robert Murray McShane. Thought of this night coming, the shortness of time. Every time he wrote a letter, every time he corresponded with someone, because in his letter heading, he had a little sketch of depicting the setting sun. Had it on his letter headings and had it on the back of his envelope. And underneath that little sketch of the setting sun, he had these words: I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And Robert Murray McShane's day was a very short day. For he died in his 30th year. That's why McShane lived how he lived. When he was called to Dundee in Scotland, there were over 1,100 people on the church roll, and he started to visit them. And I've just been reading in this past week that he would visit 12 families every day. That was apart from study and devotion and spending 3 hours with God in the morning. I tell you, McShane worked. Died in his 30th year because he knew the night was coming when his work would be finished. That night may be nearer than we think. One is to notice the Master was sent. We notice the Master in the service. I wonder as we read that verse 4 of chapter 9. Wonder, did you notice the repetition of the word work? It's a relatively short verse. And yet work is mentioned 3 times. As far as the Lord Jesus was concerned, his life on earth was a life of work, work, work. Even from his earliest death, even from a child, even as a 12-year-old, he was attending to the work that his father had given him to do, for he said to his mother, "Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And he was only 12 years of age. He didn't leave his father's business to be done until later. He attended to his father's business from his earliest days as God manifest in flesh. This he did. This he did because he knew the night cometh when no man can work. Dear Christian, would we not confess it tonight, that regarding our laboring and our labors for the kingdom, we are so far removed from the example that our Savior set, from the example that Savior has given to us? Even when we do our best to work for the Lord, we're still so unlike him. For no one toiled No one worked for the kingdom like Christ. Turn to Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Then come these words, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Where are the laborers? Where are the workers? The Lord is challenging his disciples. There's no difference between the Lord's day and our day. The mission fields are still crying out for workers. Where are they? Our seminary has plenty of room for young men to train for the ministry and the mission field. But where are they? Where are the workers? So few seem to want to work for God. So few seem to want to work for the Lord and be busy. We better be busy, because time's running out. For the night cometh, no man can work. Others procrastinate. The Lord Jesus was no procrastinator. He was attending to his Father's business when he was 12 years of age. But sometimes we all procrastinate and we put it off till later. Oh, there's someone who needs to be spoken to about the Lord, but oh, we'll do it later. Dr. Chalmers, who was a contemporary of Robert Murray McShane, one night spent an evening in a certain home, spoke to the owner of the house, and they sat and talked and chatted for a good part of the evening. They had a good time of fellowship, or rather a good time of chatting about old times and telling stories. Late that evening, they retired for the night. Dr. Chalmers said later on, in the early hours of the morning, there was a bit of a ruckus or a rumpus in the house. And he was called to the room of the man he had been speaking to earlier on that evening. But it was too late. The man had died in the night and had passed into eternity. And Chalmers felt very guilty because he had spent the night talking to this man about trivial things and hadn't talked to him about the Lord. And for that man, the night had come. His time had run out. And believer, time is running out for us. People need to be spoken to. Can't leave it till tomorrow. Can't leave it till next week. For the night, our night, may come in the meantime. John chapter 4. The Lord addressed this matter of procrastination. John 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Harvest that field of grain. It's almost past the time. Sometimes in the fall, drive up certain country roads, and maybe you've been up them 2 or 3 times in the month, and you see this field of grain. I think of one that I was watching last year. You saw the grain and how good it looked. It was golden. Say, well, farm will soon be into that field. Soon be bringing in that harvest. But he didn't. And the days went by. Indeed, the weeks went by until the grain was bleak white. And I thought of this verse. And I thought to myself, the farmer better hurry up and get into that field or he'll lose the harvest. And the Lord was saying to the disciples, you better hurry up and get into the field. You're going to lose the harvest. Say not, there are yet 3 months and then the harvest. Will you lift up your eyes and look now? Harvest time is now. In fact, it's almost past. Time is running out. If the Master who was sent, the Master in the service, is the Master in the sacrifice. We know that the Lord came into the world to be the substitute and sacrifice for sinners. That was the work that he came to do. And when he laid down his life for his people, when he laid down his life, when he died there on Calvary, the Lord Jesus sacrificed his all. There was nothing more to give. He gave us all. But not only was his death one of sacrifice, his whole life was one of sacrifice. For in carrying out his Father's will and doing his Father's work, the Savior sacrificed many things. He sacrificed his riches. He who was rich became poor, that we through his riches, or through his poverty, might be made rich. He sacrificed his riches. Not many willing to do that today. Said there the other week, C.T. Studd sacrificed his riches seed. His son was a rich man. But before he went to the mission field, he sacrificed everything he had. He gave it all away. He was going to the mission field. But the man fully surrendered to the Lord. Not many willing to sacrifice their riches. Christ sacrificed his riches. Christ sacrificed his reputation. For he who is honored in heaven, he who is glorified by the saints, he who listened to that wonderful song of the redeemed, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb to receive honor, praise, and glory, came into this world as God manifest in flesh and was hated and despised and became the song of the drunkards. He sacrificed his reputation. He who was holy, harmless, and undefiled and separate from sinners became the friend of publicans and sinners, and because of that, Matthew 11, verse 19, they said, "Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber." How he was insulted. But he sacrificed it all that he might do the work that he was sent to do. Not going to get many plaudits. Not going to get many people clap you on the back for the work you're doing when you work for God. What does it matter? What does it matter? It's the well done of God we want. Just to hear that, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He sacrificed his rest. So much to do. So many diseases to be healed. So many afflicted to be cured. So many lives to be rescued. The Lord Jesus worked tirelessly. "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." And often he would work throughout the day and into the evening, and then go up into a mountain and spend all night in prayer, and come down the next morning and work again without one moment's rest. And wherever we would see him laboring, toiling, working hard without rest, we would remember these words, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Oh, dear Christian, what have we sacrificed for God? We like our rest. We're proud of our reputation. We love our riches. But there's a work to be done. As the Lord said, we must work. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, "We then, as workers together with him." If we are workers with Christ, and that means sacrifice. "So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone."
Think about it. Think about it tonight. The night cometh, and no man can work. Time's running out. Very quickly we notice the Master in his great compulsion. You want to see one who is the perfect labor, one who's sold out to God. We've only to look at the God-man. We only to look at Jesus Christ. I must work. There's this compulsion. I must work. The works of him that sent me. With Jesus it was not, I may if I will. Nor was it, I can if I like. That's not how the Savior looked at the work of God. The Lord Jesus said, I must. I can't do anything else. I must work the works of him that sent me. I can do nothing else but do the work that I was given to do. This then demonstrates for us his willingness. His willingness. The Father had sent his Son into the world to do a work, the greatest work that ever man or God did was done by the God-man. And when he was sent, he went willingly. And what he was given to do, he did it willingly. Throughout his whole earthly ministry, whatever he did was done willingly. Not one task did he refuse to carry out. Not one trial did he refuse to go through. Not one test did he refuse to face. Everything he did willingly. Like that time, it is written of him, he must needs go through Samaria. Must needs go through Samaria. He, as it were, went out of his way to speak to the woman of Samaria there at Jacob's well. Does that not demonstrate his willingness? And that night that he told his disciples to get into the ship and go across to Gadara, there was a man there possessed of demons. The only time Christ visited Gadara, he went out of his way again, as it were, to rescue one soul. He was willing to do it and willing to go through a storm to reach that man. Oh, the willingness of the Lord. Compelled by the love of God, his love for his Father, and his love for sinners. His willingness is seen in his works. You notice what the Lord said? The Lord said, I must work the work. No, I must work the works of him that sent me. Whatever works he was asked to do, he did it willingly. Not some of them, not a few of them, not most of them, but all of them. Works done in secret, works done in public. Works done for individuals, works done for many. Works of healing, works of restoration, works of comfort for the sorrowful. Works of burden bearing. He was compelled to do them all. And he did them all willingly. Christ had given himself up unreservedly to do for God whatsoever the Father asked him to do. We need to give ourselves up to God. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Give us wholeheartedness. Notice what he said again. I must work the works. In other words, Christ worked in the work that he was given to do. I must work the works. He gave himself fully to working and working. No soft peddling. No half-hearted man. But he worked in the work. Finally, of the master and the great conclusion. First of all, his admission. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Here is the Lord describing our life. It's only a day. He admits that his life upon earth was just like a day. While it is day. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. James said, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. A little time. Believer, we've only a day. In the light of him who inhabits eternity. In the light of those words, 1,000 years are as one day in the eyes of God. What is our life? Just like a day. Can't get much done in a day. But that's what your life, my life is like. We've only got a little time. Souls to be reached. Sinners to be saved. God's kingdom to be extended. His admission and his awareness. See how the Savior labored every day? He labored aware of the coming night. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh. He lived every day aware of the coming night. The night is coming. We must live every day in the light of the coming night. The Puritan Richard Baxter, one of his famous sayings was, I preach as though I ne'er might preach again, and as a dying man to dying men. Baxter preached every sermon as though it was his last. Because he was aware the night cometh. We ought to live every day as though it's our last. Live like Christ, aware of the coming night. We read in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thy And then his accomplishment. Remember again the Savior's words, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And praise God he did. He finished the work he was given to do. Cried from the cross, it is finished. Or in the original one word, finished. My, what did Christ accomplish? He did the greatest work any man or God ever did. When the night comes, what will we have accomplished? I confess. I often think of that too. What have I accomplished? Many souls will meet me in glory. Say it was through your witness I came to Christ. As Rutherford said, of just one soul from Antwerp were to meet me at God's right hand, then my heaven would be to heaven in Emmanuel's land. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Believer, time is running out. And there's much to be done. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord and Eternal Father, come to Thee in the Savior's name. And O God, we recognize there's so much to do, so little time. Lord, we think of the likes of McShane, David Brainard, men who passed into Thy presence in their earliest years. Yet they accomplished so much. Lord, help us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Help us to work. Show each one of us, Lord, a work that we can do. Thank Thee, Lord, for those that are engaged in working for the Lord, have gone to the Lord's vineyard. O gracious God, may we work hard for Thee. We ask Thee, Lord, that Thou will be with us tonight, and we take the Word home with us in our hearts. We will meditate upon it. Lord, stir up our souls this night to do a work for Thee. Give us all traveling mercy. Keep us much in prayer in these days. And, O God, send us a breath from heaven and revival blessing. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever, till the day breaks, the shadows all flee away, and we see the King, our blessed Savior, in all His glory. In His dear name we pray. Amen.